I have the next speaker here.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
Hi, good. Hey, how's it going, Javier?
How are you doing? What are you going to talk to us about today?
Well, today I've got this project called Experimental Mobile Blazor Bindings, and I'll do some demos of that.
Perfect. Let's get started.
Wonderful. Hi, everyone. My name is Elon Lipton, and I'm a principal software engineer, and I work with the .NET team and the Xamarin team here at Microsoft. And in today's session, I'm going to show a project that I've been working on for a little while called Experimental Mobile Blazor Bindings. And this is a project that lets you use Blazor, which is what this whole conference is all about, use Blazor to build native mobile apps. So let's dig into that. So when we say experimental mobile Blazor bindings, what this does is you can use your favorite tools, that's Visual Studio, your favorite languages, that's C#, your favorite platform, that's .NET, and your favorite programming model, which is Blazor, and all of that to target iOS and Android native mobile apps. So why would we do this? Well, today there's already ways to use .NET to build terrific mobile apps with C#. You can use XAML with C# using Xamarin and Xamarin Forms, or you can write your UI all in code without using XAML. Typically, these are used with the Model View View Model, MVVM pattern, and that's a pretty familiar model to a lot of folks who are mobile developers. But there's another audience that we'd like to have a more targeted approach for. And so for people with a web background, and Blazor is all about web, we want to offer something new and something that feels a little bit more familiar to people who come from that web background. So if you are a Blazor developer today, I think this could appeal to you. If you're not yet a Blazor developer, but you're watching this conference today or watching this session at some point in the future, high future, we think that this is something that could be really interesting to you. So we want to have something that mixes Blazor and native mobile apps, and that's what this project is. But really, why are we doing this? So let me tell you just a little bit about myself. I've been on the ASP.NET team since before it was actually called ASP.NET. So for 17 years, I was on the ASP.NET team. And I come from a web background. I worked on update panel and grid controls and data sources and MVC and ASP.NET Core. If it has anything to do with ASP.NET and it came from Microsoft, I probably had something to do with it, or you can blame me for any of those things. But coming from that web background, I got really familiar with Blazor. I've used it in production applications, and I wanted to start building mobile apps. And I felt that combining Blazor with all the great work from the Xamarin team for Xamarin and Xamarin Forms, we could really build something cool that would appeal to other people who are web developers. So out of millions of developers who use .NET, we want folks who come from that web and ASP.NET and Blazor background to have something that they might find more natural to them. So what does this look like? So a lot of folks know C# and HTML with Blazor. That's what we have out there. You can run it on the server with ASP.NET Core. That came out a few months back in .NET Core 3.0. And then a lot of folks I know are excited to run it in the browser with WebAssembly. That's out in preview, and it's going to be released later this year. So you'll have the supported version of that. And this is what that code looks like. You have some HTML tags, like a paragraph tag, a button tag. You mix your C# and your HTML markup. You got event handlers, and then some additional code to handle the application state and event handlers and so forth. What does this look like when I'm targeting mobile platforms? Well, I'm not using C# and HTML anymore. With mobile Blazor bindings, I'm using C# and native mobile UI components because I want those to render using the native UI of the device. And then I can run and deploy those either in the emulators, or I can run natively on an Android phone or an iOS phone, or tablet, of course. What does that code look like? Well, if you compare the left side and the right side, they're pretty gosh similar. So you have your stack layout that's kind of like a div you can think of in HTML, and then a label and a button. You can guess what those are. And the rest is almost exactly the same. The C# code is exactly the same. It handles a click, it increments a count. And you can go ahead and run that on your Android emulator or iOS simulator or on a physical device, and you get your app. And this is a native app running on Android in this case. So Let's go ahead and actually do that. So these are, we released the code this morning, so you can go to the GitHub repo. I'll have links to that later in the deck or check Twitter. Let's use, I've already installed the templates. You can do this at home as well or at work if you're at work. .NET new mobile Blazor bindings, that's the name of the template. Once you've installed it, check out the instructions online, and I'll call this .NET conf demo. And let's take a look at what that created for me. So we see here it's got a solution file, which is great, and then it's got three projects. It's got the shared UI, which we'll spend most of our time in, and then it's got an Android project and an iOS project. So let's open that up in Visual Studio. You can do this in Visual Studio 2019, the public bits, or in Visual Studio for Mac. It works great as well. And now we've got the solution open. So let's dive into these projects. So one thing I want to show is, what does this project look like, this shared UI project? So as you can see, it's a mixture of C#, one C# file in this case, and some Razor files. That's exactly what you would expect in any Blazor application, at least the UI portion of that application. And then the rest, it's a pretty boring CS proj file. It uses the Razor SDK. That's how you get all the support for .razor files. Sets the Razor language version, has a few settings, and then here it's mixing together Xamarin Forms for the UI, and then this new project, Mobile Blazor Bindings, to bind Blazor with Xamarin Forms. So let's go ahead and launch that. We'll get that running in the emulator while I show, one thing, of course, I always forget. Have to set Android as the startup project, or if you want to run it on your iOS device, set the iOS project to be the startup. It's got my Android emulator running here. As you can see, it's a bit chilly in Celsius. That's minus 2 degrees Celsius, if you're not as familiar with our American Fahrenheits. So while we get that running, first time you open the app in the emulator, it can be a little pokey, but it speeds up after that. The app.cs file is the main entry point, and it has a lot of things that are familiar to people who have used Blazor before. In particular, you can register services in your dependency injection container. And then ultimately what we do is we add this Hello World Blazor component to the application. And so here's that Hello World component. Now, the Hello World component is a very simple one. The main thing it has is a counter. If you've seen anything about Blazor in the last few years, you've seen that Blazor is all about counters. And here is that counter, and I think it's up and running now. Here it is in the emulator. So as we click increment, we can hit the button, and then the value increments. Again, pretty straightforward. You've probably seen this code about a dozen times today so far, and the day's not over yet, so you'll see it probably a dozen more times. But let's start tweaking this application a little bit. So in addition to incrementing count, I want to support doing a decrement count. Very creative, I know. So let's do decrement count, and we'll do count minus minus. Let's add another button. So instead of increment, we're going to decrement. And then, of course, you have the full power of Visual Studio with IntelliSense, so I can call my decrement method. I'm going to change the layout a little bit. Instead of being a horizontal layout, I'll do a vertical layout, which is also the default, so I don't have to set that. And I don't want the count to get below zero, so if the count is zero and you hit the decrement button, I want to show a little alert saying, sorry, but you can't do that. So display alert, error, count is already zero, and then OK. Now this is an async method, so I have to await it, or else the compiler will yell at me. So we just mark this as an async method that returns a task. That error will go away in just a second. And let's go ahead and set a breakpoint in here. Because again, we have the full power of Visual Studio here, so all the normal things you expect to work in Visual Studio, IntelliSense, debugging, breakpoints, those errors that just popped up are innocuous. We're working on making those go away, so you might see those errors pop up a few times. So here we can increment our value. That's great. We're up to 4, and then let's decrement it back down, and then when we get to 0 and I hit decrement one more time, of course I could tap on the screen. I have a touch screen, so I can tap on the screen. We hit our breakpoint. The count is 0, as you can tell. And then I'll press F5 to continue the application. Error, the count is already 0. So in just a few seconds, we got an application written using Blazor and .NET and C# and Visual Studio running on the Android emulator. So that's pretty nice. What else can we do? This can do a little bit more than just counters that increment, that increment and decrement. So let's switch back to the presentation. To see where this kind of fits into the broad picture, you've probably seen this spectrum before. All the way at the top, we have Blazor running on the server with HTML. And then as you go all the way down to this last box here on the bottom, we have this native experience with Blazor, which is experimental, as I've mentioned. And this is about rendering non-HTML UI. So let's check out a few more UI components and build a slightly more interesting application. So the application we're going to build is a to-do app, because right after you build a counter app, you have to build a to-do app. It's the Blazor way of doing things. So the first thing I want to do is change the overall layout to be this little pre-canned component. This is a built-in component that has a tabbed page. In my case, it has two tabs, each with a content page. So it has the to-do app, which I haven't written yet, and then the counter app I've put in this second tab over here. So for my to-do app, the first thing I need is a class to host my to-do item. Make it public, and then add a couple properties to represent my to-do items. You've probably seen Steve Sanderson and Dan Roth do this a million times, but you haven't seen it this way. So is done and text, it's a very simple to-do app, and now I need a way to display those to-do items. So I will add a Razor component. Let's call this to-do display. Now get rid of the HTML that's in there. So we want another stack. Stack layout is one of the most common types of elements that you see because it's kind of like that div that you have in the HTML world. And so we want a horizontal orientation. And we want a switch. A switch is kind of like a checkbox-ish type of thing that has an isToggled property. So we can set it to a static value, of course, for a real application. That's not what we want. And then we have a label to show the text of the item. And of course, we'll just put a static item there for now. But we want this to be a live component that displays the value of the to-do item. So we'll use, again, standard Blazor syntax, add a parameter so we can accept a property that is the to-do item. Okay. So now instead of binding to these static values, we want to get the current isDone value. And the current, the current text property. But these are one-way bindings. So this will happily display the current values, but it will not let you interact with them. So we want to do something a little fancier. So let's do a little something where while the item is not done, so when the item is done, we'll set the text decoration to be strike through, so it's crossed out. And then when it's not yet done, we'll do no text decoration. So that's nice. So as I toggle this switch, I want the value of isDone to change, and then I want the label to re-render with the new style. But as I mentioned, this is a one-way binding. Fortunately, with Blazor, it's very easy to do a two-way binding. So now we have the switch with a two-way binding on the isToggled property. So as I toggle the switch, it'll mark the isDone property true, false, and the label will re-render appropriately. So now we need a way to show a list of these items. So I'll have a to-do list. And here we want a vertical orientation. Actually, let me cheat and I'll copy some of this stuff so you're not just watching me type a whole lot. Okay. So we have an outer stack layout with another stack layout inside it. So I need some UI to render, to allow adding a new to-do item. So an entry is like a text box. And we need to have a binding to, we need to have a binding to some fields. So I want a string new text, and I want this entry to have a two-way binding to the new text. So as the user using this application types text into this text box, this new text field will get updated automatically. And we want a button to add the item to the list. And this has an onClick event handler, and we'll go write that event handler in just a moment. To do a little bit of layout to make things look nice, what we want is for this to expand layout options.fill and expand. So we want the entry to take up as much space as possible, and then the button will take up the remaining space. And then we need to render out the to-do list, but we don't have a to-do list yet. So let's do that. We'll have a list of to-do items. Items equals new list of to-do items. And here in this list, what we want to do for each item, and again, this is, aside from these being stack layouts instead of divs that otherwise you'd think it's HTML, we have a to-do display that has an item property that is bound to the current item. And we want this to iterate over the items collection. OK, so that looks good so far, except for one thing. We can't add any items yet. So we need an event handler. So void add item. And so whenever the user clicks the button, we want to take the current text, which has been set into this field, and add it to our list of to-do items. So now we set the text of the new item to be the new text, and then we clear out the new text to be empty. And the very last thing we need to do to make this work is in our application, here where it says put the to-do app here, we need to show the to-do list. So unless I've gotten this completely wrong, which was entirely possible, we're going to see this run, and we'll have our very simple to-do app running in Android. And again, like I said earlier, these errors are currently expected. So we'll just make that go away because it looks not so nice. So here we have our tabs. And again, these will look a little bit differently on Android versus iOS, but it's still the same application that we had earlier. So when I get to zero here, it'll show that little alert. But back in the to-do app, let's say we have to buy milk. That's always the first thing in a to-do item. Buy a cat. I like cats. Let's sell the dog. We don't have a dog, but if I did, probably starting a war on Twitter now. And actually, I've got a special announcement today. My family at home is watching. So control people. Oh, there we are. Oh, hello, everybody. It's somebody very special to me. Announce wife's birthday. So hi, wife. And buy a cake. Oh, OK. So buy a cake. And there we go. So there's the cake. So 은진아, 생일 축하합니다. That's happy birthday in Korean. We can switch back to the computer now. Thank you, control people. So let's see. So we bought milk a few days ago. I did announce my wife's birthday, and I did buy a cake. So happy birthday. Let's continue with the demo. I hope my wife is actually watching. Otherwise, she'll have to wait to watch this later. So there we do. There we go. We have this really cool to-do app. You saw me write all the code, aside from just a little bit of the layout that I copy-pasted. And there we do. We have a to-do app running as a native Android application. So I could deploy this to an Android phone, deploy it to an iPhone or a tablet, and there you go. It works perfectly naturally. So let's go back to the deck and see a little bit more. So what we've seen so far is a pretty basic application, but the fact that we're running on a phone or a tablet means that we can take advantage of the native capabilities of those devices. And as we all know, these devices have tons and tons of sensors. So how do you access these things? So the way a typical Xamarin app works, and this is all based on the Xamarin platform and Xamarin Forms UI elements. It's not a new pixel stack. This is just a different way of writing the UI. You have your various native UIs. And you can write C# targeting those devices directly. But what we really want in this big light blue colored box is to have most of your business logic and calling platform APIs and your user interface to be shared between them so you don't have to write those multiple times, but give you all the access that you need to everything. So what we're talking about today is contained in this light blue box in the bottom. But how do I actually talk to all those native things when I want to access things like GPS or phone? Well, the amazingly smart folks on the Xamarin team have this really cool library called Xamarin Essentials. Instead of having to directly invoke each platform's APIs for things like email, geolocation, battery status, do I have a network connection, you can use the Xamarin Essentials library, and it does all of those things in a platform-independent way, but yet taking advantage of all the features of those platforms. So where does that fit into this diagram? Well, it slots right in. So your shared C-sharp code just talks to Xamarin Essentials, and it has really friendly APIs for talking to all those sensors and pieces of functionality that your devices have. So let's see a demo of how to do that and make this from a, well, pretty boring to-do application to something a little bit more interesting. So let's go back to the list here. Now I'm going to kind of pre-hydrate it so you don't have to watch me add the same to-do items dozens and dozens of times. I'm just going to put a few pre-canned items on here. And now I want to add some smart buttons to my to-do display. So for each item, what I'm going to do is detect if it has a URL, I want to launch a web browser. If it has a phone number, I want to be able to call that phone number. If it's a place name, then I want to get directions to that. And I found this cool little Formula One car emoji. Maybe it's an Indy car or a go-kart, but anyway, it's cool. Okay, it's not as simple as that. I have to go write some code, or in my case, I'm going to cheat and copy some code. So I have a few helpers that I wrote to detect things. And so all they do is I wrote some extension methods that I'll add in just a second that scan the text of the current to-do item and detect whether it has a URL or a location name. So I'm going to add some helpers. I'm going to add a class called util. If you ever find yourself adding a class called util to a project, you're probably doing something wrong. It's kind of a dumping ground, but for the sake of a demo, I think this is okay. So in here, I have some helpers. Please don't use these regular expressions. I spent about 5 seconds writing these regular expressions to detect URLs. This is not the actual correct way to detect URLs. Back to the to-do display. So now we can detect if the text contains a URL or has a phone in place, and we will render these buttons conditionally if it has one of those elements in it. So that's pretty cool. And then how do we actually launch the browser? Well, that's in the Xamarin Essentials library, and that's in this NuGet package that I'll add to my project. Xamarin.essentials, it's already in my autocomplete. Let's install that. This is a fantastic library. If you're doing mobile apps with .NET and you haven't used Xamarin Essentials, you are missing out on some really, really great stuff. Okay, so now we've added the Xamarin Essentials NuGet package to the project, so now I can try to go launch the web browser or phone dialer and so forth. So to launch a web browser, so if this element is, if this to-do item contains a URL, I want to detect if the user has network access, and if so, I'll launch the browser, and if not, I'll show an alert saying, sorry, you don't have internet access. So we have to import the namespace for that. Fortunately, with Razor, it's really easy. Instead of doing it in every file, you can just go to your imports.razor, which is shared with all the files in this folder and subfolders, and just import it in one place. So now all these things light up. So when we have internet, we'll launch the default web browser on your operating system, and then if not, we'll show an alert. And then we'll do very similar things to make phone calls. So if it's a phone call, we'll open the phone dialer. If it's a location name, it's a little bit more complicated, but it's really cool with all these built-in APIs. We can use the geocoding API to get the latitude and longitude of the location that's specified. And then we also will use the geolocation API to get this device's last known location. And then I copied some helper code from Stack Overflow, that's what you do in a project, to calculate the distance between two locations. And then I'll either show a message saying, sorry, that's more than 200, this is kilometers, so if it's more than 200 kilometers away, I will refuse to navigate. But if it's a reasonably nearby location that you can maybe drive to, I'll launch the map and show directions to that. Now, the last thing you need to do with using Xamarin Essentials is you have to enable them. And this is, there's some device-specific code. And so that's what's located in this Android and this iOS project. You have some device-specific code that boots up the application, requests the device-specific permission. So in my case, and you don't have to remember this code. This code is just copied from the documentation that you can find. So when you search for how to use Xamarin Essentials APIs, it tells you, oh, you can use it. This is the API you call. And then you just have to copy-paste some of this code. So when you launch an application, the first time it tries to use location information, it usually pops up from the operating system a little message that says, hey, this application wants to know your location. Do you want to allow that or deny that? So you have to handle those things. And then in the application's manifest, oops, not there, in the properties, you can either do it in the XML file, or I personally prefer to do it using these assembly properties. And again, you just copy paste this from the documentation. We're going to specify that this application requires some location information, and it already has some information, some permission requests for getting internet and things like that. Okay, so let's quickly, let's get this running. And then just as a reminder, all we're doing is scanning text that's in the to-do item, showing buttons that go do some native device functionality, and then taking the appropriate action when those bits of text are located in the to-do text. So we'll let that reload. I was having earlier some problems with the location information. So in the Android emulator, for example, in the settings, you can say what your location is, and you can even do playback. So if you want to test motion and things like that, you can do all, there's all those settings. I started getting some weird errors with that in the emulator, so I'll try clicking it and see what happens. So in this case, we have a URL here that was detected, so this little laptop icon, when I click that, it's going to launch the default browser, and so it's going to go to the blog post that we released earlier today. Hey, that's me. But if I go back to the application, if I put the Android emulator into airplane mode, which means we lose internet connection, instead of launching the browser now, it says, oh, no internet. So we see that really cool integration in just a few lines of code to get the native device functionality. If we want to call a phone number, that's, I think, the Microsoft, I hope that's Microsoft's main number. Otherwise, I don't know, sorry, 882-8080. We can make a phone call. And then here's where I'm pre-warning that it's probably a demo fail. I'll click the car icon because it's going to detect, oh, go to Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Boston, this is my hometown. Yeah, I was getting some weird errors earlier, so unfortunately, I can't show that. But trust me, otherwise, it would work. I'm not sure what the problem is. I'll have to talk to some of the Xamarin folks and get a little bit of understanding about what's going on there. So there we have it. We have a native application written using Blazor code. So these are the things that you're familiar with. We have for loops, and we have if statements that conditionally render content. We mix our C# with the markup. The markup, it's not HTML. It's native mobile components. Just a tiny bit about the architecture to see how these things fit together. We have the great Xamarin Forms library that does the rendering of the components. And then we have ASP.NET Core Razor components, Blazor. This project, Mobile Blazor Bindings, binds those two things together. It binds the mobile and the Blazor to build this great experience. And then you have your app's shared UI. That's the one with all the Razor files that talks to that. And then you have your various backends, your Android, your iOS backend. So pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Should hopefully make sense to a lot of folks. The last demo I want to show, and this the full app is available on the GitHub repo. So if I go to native to do, this is the full, or I should say, larger to-do app that talks to a SQLite database that has to load content. And oh, hey, look, I just did a Blazor demo, and so cross that out. This also does speech-to-text, or not speech-to-text, text-to-speech, so you can speak things out and so forth. So this is a nice full demo you can try out and launch locally when you try it out. As far as kind of where we are in this is early stages, but we have several components that are already available for use. This is not a complete list by any means, but you have things like activity indicator, which is a little spinny circle, the shell component, buttons. We have a few more components that we'll hopefully get out very soon. And then there's a whole bunch more components that we need to add support for. So expect all of these eventually to be available. And then really the main thing that we're looking for is your feedback. We want you to try it out. This is an experiment. An experiment is nothing if we can't get experimental data. We want folks to try out these bits, download it, play with it, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, give us your suggestions, and we'll work with you to try to come up with a solution that is really appealing for you. And we'll get more previews out there, more docs. We have some good docs out there with tutorials getting started, some information, more advanced scenarios, how to do dependency injection, and how to wrap components. We're going to look at hot reload support, support for more controls that I mentioned, support for inline text. Right now, you have to set the text property. That doesn't feel supernatural to somebody doing web UI, so we want to support something like this down here. And check us out. This is the early stages. Go to our GitHub repo. It's in the Xamarin org on GitHub /mobile-blazer-bindings. And you can find me on Twitter at original_EJL. And there's the links once again. The NuGet packages are live. Please check it out. Thank you very much. And I think I'm being told in a passive-aggressive way, I am done. Thank you. There's a camera in my face.
All right, Elon, we actually have some questions.
Wonderful.
For you. So, yeah, people seem to be actually really excited about this. I want to show you just this kind of just cool tweet. Somebody's really blown away on Blazor mobile bindings. These are amazing concepts. I really love how Blazor and Xamarin comes together. So there's just some great feedback. You asked for feedback.
Yeah,
great
that's feedback. Great.
Keep it coming, guys. So here's a question right here. So, phew, we get XAML componentized pieces. Okay, looks cool. I want to take for a test drive. How much of the components can we share with Blazor on the web?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The simple answer is that because your web components are based on HTML and these components are based on native mobile components. Oh, the one with the red light, that's where I should talk. You're probably not going to share the UI itself. Your business logic can certainly be shared. It's probably in a .NET standard library. You can do your web calls, use your SQLite database. That's all .NET standard. That's wonderful. The UI itself is unlikely to be shareable with this model. If you do want to do something like that, then something like web window and PWAs might be something that's more appealing to you if you want to use exactly the same UI between different apps. Great question.
Cool. Awesome. All right, so here's another one. Is Blazor native planning on supporting UWP or WinUI?
So that's another question. We've mostly been experimenting with iOS and Android. In principle, anything that Xamarin Forms targets should be runnable. We just haven't played as much with that because the main focus at first was to target the phones and tablets running those operating systems. But in principle, should work. I haven't tried it. If somebody wants to try it, let us know how it works. And we can easily add that to the project templates as well.
Cool. Here's one directly to you here. Hey, do I need the preview version of Visual Studio for Mac or Visual Studio to execute the Blazor bindings for Xamarin, or can I do this on a stable version too?
Yeah, so it should work on the released versions. I happen to be running Visual Studio 2019, I forget which update, but I am running the public preview of that. You don't need the public preview, though. You can run the stable RTM release of that, and that should work just fine. That should be true for Visual Studio and Visual Studio for Mac.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I think that's about it for questions. I mean, like, we just have another person really here just saying, this is so awesome. It's a simple to-do app running as a native Android application by utilizing both Blazor and Xamarin Forms. I dig this. So I think awesome. You guys are hitting a nice sweet spot for a lot of people. So that's very cool.
Yeah, we're super excited. I mean, this builds on all the great work from the Xamarin and Xamarin Forms teams, and then all the great work from the Blazor team, which is where I came from, and so I have that web experience, and I'm new to the mobile area, but I just love this mixture of proven technologies that's out there.
So basically, like the gist of what I'm hearing is, if you're doing mobile development with Xamarin and XAML right now, that's great. We're providing another option for folks that are more used to web syntax, weblight syntax.
Exactly.
Is that the thing?
Exactly.
So Xamarin is actually the technology. It's under the hood. It's not going away. This is just an experimental like layer on top.
Yep. Awesome. We need feedback.
Awesome. Very cool. All right, guys, you heard it. We need feedback. Check it out. Head over to the GitHub repo and send us your feedback. You know how to get a hold of us. Cool.